Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've seen him do other stuff, but I didn't like the booty in your body.
You didn't like it?
Body booty stuff.
Well, so we're gonna, how's how we're going to kick off the show?
I'm talking about the booty on your body. I'm talking about the body that you got with the booty. I'm talking
what?
About
the beat's hard. I can't.
Body with you made the beat.
Got a booty.
I've seen him do other stuff. It's really good. It's just
flowing quite nicely as well.
And don't forget, baby.
Wait for it.
Your body also got some nice booby. A booby on your body. Two booby on your body.
What?
A booty on your body, then a booby.
Do you know what? You only played me the audio when you see the video as well. It is funny.
Body got a booty and a booby, two boobies. I'm talking about booby body, booby body, booby booty.
What?
I'm talking booby body, booby.
This is a perfect song for this show.
I'm talking Bobby.
It isn't it? This is just rap music in 2019. I'm talking Bobby.
Tupa tapa tupa baba booby. A raka taka ta taka taka.
A raka ta.
A tuka chom baba papa papa papa. A chaka chaka con. Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, Rufus featuring Shaka Khan.
Okay, that's
you know
sick,
what?
Right?
Do you
okay,
know, do you know what? I've completely changed my mind about.
There we go.
That's like, that is. Can you start your show with that every week? That's
I think great. We should. You know, I mean, there's another thing. His name's Mark Rebillet, though. This guy, I hope I'm saying it right. He's like this sick, talented guy that can play any instrument, really, and he's got like a loop machine, and he does live shows where all he does is freestyle. He writes, doesn't write down fuck all. He just cracks on.
I wouldn't call it a freestyle. He's using three words.
Well, you know what? He's got another video that came out.
He which went from booty on
Bobby body.
Shaka Khan.
Booby on your body.
Yeah.
Or booty on your body and ended up with
Booby.
Rufus featuring Shaka Khan. It's really good.
Oh, man. I mean, Billy, you need some help with your chat up line, so maybe you can use that. Booby has a body. Well, he has a booby.
Don't go up to anyone and say you got a booty on your body.
All right. Well, there's another clip that came out actually, and this is kind of what I reckon people think How to Kill an Hour sounds like after listening to the last couple of episodes.
We got poop, shit, ass, fuck. Fuck to the ass to the shit.
Yeah.
Poop, cock and pussy and clit and shit. Shit with the poop and the fucking ass. Ass in the hole with the butt hole.
Nibble. Listen, the beats are hard
cock.
Though, man.
Cock with the ass and the piss and shit. Piss with the shit and the ass and piss.
Yes! That's basically him doing an impression of How to Kill Hour. Anyway, this
we
is how
said
to kill.
Other words as well.
Clit, clit. Bomb hole.
Big Dick Billy.
Big Dick Billy in the house.
What have I walked into?
You serious?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. I'm joined by Dev and Hi. Also Rory Reed as well. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
My pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a long time overdue. I think like we said we wanted to do this last year.
Yeah.
And we've caught up a couple of times in between then and partied, haven't we? In fact, the last time we were all in the room together, you, Dev and I, was at Dev's birthday party.
There was some alcohol involved.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, man. It was a laugh. But now we're in a professional setting.
God, so you can't talk about it. I think we can. It was a great night, Dev, no?
It was really good fun. I enjoyed it very much.
Wow.
Thanks, guys, for coming. Cheers. Go on, what's in your list? What else should I come
up? Move on.
I've never heard your politician voice ever before. Like, so, what have we got coming up in the show today, bro?
We all had a wonderful time. We all made some great connections. And I'm sure it'll be memories we think of for a long time. What else is on your list?
No, well, you didn't actually answer the question. What I was actually asking, Dev, is how was your birthday?
Do you remember your birthday,
yeah.
Dev?
Yep. Remember all of it. Really good.
I had a good time. I like the venue though, man. It was like this. It was like a pub upstairs, but downstairs
it used
you
to be
booked
for,
the whole.
For nerds who wanted to know, it used to be birthdays in Dalston.
Yes,
it's now part of a chain of Brewdog.
Yeah. Getting paid for that?
It's the only vegan. It's the only vegan BrewDog as well.
Really?
Apparently. Yeah. All the food is all vegan.
I didn't know that. But yeah, it's just you know, some people say that the gentrification of areas like Dawson is bad. I say it did provide quite a cheap venue for my birthday. So, you know,
I think it's a pretty good venue. I mean, it was a good vibe in there. We had a good time. You know what I mean?
That's really good. All good.
And you tried the vegan food. I'm a little bit pissed off, Rory, about vegan food being so prominent in 2020. When I tried to do my vegan month in 2019, there was nothing.
Nobody was on it.
And I don't feel happy or proud that I was on it before everyone else, because I had a shit selection.
I did it for 6 months as well, about a year ago.
Six months.
I stuck with it and it was all right. But I wish also, like you, that I'd done it now, when you got KFC, you got Burger King. Like, literally everyone is doing vegan food right now, and good vegan food.
Yeah. I even had a fucking Papa John's over the weekend, and they've got a whole vegan selection on their pizza.
Isn't that cheating a little bit, though? To go, if you're going to go vegan, to then go, oh, okay, all right, but I'm going to just have, like, the vegan option at KFC or something. It still feels like it's still processed garbage. And, like, if I thought the whole point, if you're going to go vegan, that like you would just, isn't that just try
it's
eat
nothing,
healthier?
No, it's nothing to do with health. It's just not murdering animals. That's it. That's literally the only rule in veganism.
We do kill quite a lot, don't we? It's terrifying. Like, I was thinking the other day about, like, foie gras.
Ugh,
like, just
delicious, but cruel.
It is so delicious, but also, like, how disgusting are we as, like, people that we're like, well, it used to be, all right, we need to kill animals to live, to survive, right? Yeah. And now we're like, but the liver tastes so delicious when you overfeed.
Now we're dreaming up ever more inventive ways to be cruel to animals so we can eat them. Like foie gras. There's another dish, I forgot what it's called, but it's obviously the French are involved. But what they do is they take a young bird, a chick, and then they basically eat it. They pluck the feathers off and then sort of stab it in their mouths. I forgot what it's called.
It's called the Ozzy Osbourne. That's what it's called. He does it with bats. He started with bats, but they do it with chicks instead now.
I think it's illegal in quite a lot of places, but yeah.
But it's fucked up. Oysters as well. We literally pop something open. But imagine that somebody slits your body down the side, jiggles a knife around all your inside bits that are loose, and then just goes and swallows you alive.
Is it because there's no the reason we don't care? Is it because there's like no Disney films about oysters?
Yep.
Where
100%.
Do you know what I mean? We'll feel bad about, say, Bambi, like veal. We won't want to eat.
Yep.
Cats and dogs.
Yep.
Can't eat them.
No, you can't eat those.
Oysters, no one cares about.
I think there was one in The Little Mermaid, but it was like a background character. Didn't really have a speaking part. You know, maybe it accompanied someone on the hook.
Yeah.
For
no,
a song.
No one cares about oysters. By the way, as soon as you brought up The Little Mermaid, have we talked about this before? Does anybody else have a bit of a thing for Ursula?
Which one was Ursula?
You know Ursula.
The evil one.
Ursula was thick, right? Imagine Ariel's face on Ursula's body. That's a bit of me.
Isn't that the person that did our...
I'm not going to lie, Dev. She wasn't doing it for me.
But nah, she's not.
Not in the face.
This says a lot about
not
you.
Not in the face.
This is a...
What did you want? The body? The tentacles?
Look, find the clip where she's walking around a little bit.
What do you want? The eight chins or the tentacles?
No. Like I said, not really in the face. Okay, but imagine Ariel's...
So the body, then the tentacles.
Imagine Ariel's... Yeah, poor Unfortunate Souls. Play that.
You want to actually play that? All right.
Unfortunate Souls, because there's a walk that she does where I'm like...
So there's no YouTube ads.
You know, like when I was a little kid, you kind of figure out what it is you like and what you don't like, right?
It's what I live for.
Wait,
unfortunate merfolk like yourself.
See, Ariel, she's too skinny. Too skinny. But Ariel's face on Ursula's body.
I admit that in the past I've been a nasty.
Look at this.
Wow.
You're really checking out the bum.
She's so thick.
Can I ask you?
Oh my goodness.
How many nights alone did you spend thinking of Ursula?
Do you know what? I wasn't old
did
enough
she,
to...
Did she put hairs on your chest?
I wasn't old enough to masturbate to Ursula, right? It awakened something in me. I just remember looking at this and going,
your penis.
Hey, what's going on here? Hey, this is making me feel something.
I'm not seeing this.
No, I'm not. You're looking at the face too much, all right?
If there's anyone out there who's over 65 and over 20 stone, holler at Dev.
Yeah, you lot can start your own little jack-off group. Disney characters that we jack-off to.
I want to be a poor, fortunate soul.
Okay. Oh, man.
Sorry.
I want to know who you're knocking one out to when you watch Shrek now as well, bro.
We've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, we have. So, yeah, well, welcome to the show, Rory Reed. I think you are very, very well known. In the automotive world, as somebody who reviews vehicles, but I want to reach further than that today. But when people ask you what do you do, what do you say to them, Rory?
I tell them I'm predominantly I'm a journalist, basically. Mm-hmm. I write about and I make videos about the stuff that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And that could be anything from technology to cars. You know, when I started my career, I started out in computer games. Then I moved to tech. I did tech for about 10 years. And I've been doing cars for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. Yeah. I'm an old man. I've been doing this from day.
I mean, I did some research to look into some of your old car stuff, bruv. And, yeah. and video-wise, bruv, there's a video that needs some explaining as well. Shout out to you if you're looking on the Instagram, because we're going to have a little clip of this up here as well. What is going on in this video here?
This is... Right, so there's for people listening to this,
action.
We've got we hired a bunch of kung fu guys to come and kick the action. Shit out of a car. Yep, that sound is someone kicking the side window in. So there's about six guys just basically doing kung fu while kicking a car, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't remember why we did it.
It looks cool.
We had some spare budget, and I was like, "Yo, let's get some kung fu."
Can you start it again and play the Street Fighter music?
Now. I remember.
Can you start the video again? Right, take the sound off. Put the guile music.
Okay. Alright, go on, let's do it.
The guy music, it will go with anything. Alright, now start the
music.
This is it.
I do remember. Cool. This was about a week.
So yeah.
But I did a channel called Fast, Furious and Funny back in the day, and we had a segment where we basically destroyed cars in ever more inventive ways. So we hired a crane and we used to drop cars off the top of this crane like 100 feet in the air just to see what would happen to the car when it landed on the floor. And it was a great scientific illustration of the lack of safety technology in those cars back in the day. If you dropped a Peugeot 205 on the floor, it would end up like a pancake. And you can imagine being in an accident in a car like that.
Yeah, fuck that,
not surviving.
Yeah.
Modern cars, you'd probably live. Basically we just you know, destroyed. We dropped melons off a crane onto a car, and we dropped a ton of water. We just destroyed cars.
That's
basically
such a perfect excuse to be able to just like
science
mess up as many cars. We need to test how safe this Peugeot 205 is, and the only way we can do that is
dropping a piano.
It's by hiring 10 kung fu masters to come and kick it.
See, that could have been your child's face.
But yeah, man, you've always kind of been out there, and I think you've had your own spin on your automotive journalism. While loads of people are kind of like, I feel like 5-6 years ago it was all super either really excited about the numbers of the car or just excited for no reason about the car or just trying to rip a car for no reason. Yeah. When you review a vehicle, I feel like you have a fucking laugh with it, but you do actually bring some real life value to the table. Like, for example, there was a Puma, the Ford Puma that came out recently.
Did a Ford Puma.
Yeah, with the boot space on it, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, this, I call it an innovation, but basically what they've done is they've taken the hole where the spare wheel goes and reshaped it to make it into like a bucket inside the boot where you can store all kinds of stuff. So I decided I was going to turn it into a mini bar by chucking a bunch of ice in it and some drinks. And then I put some goldfish in the boot, live goldfish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, drove around. You know, it was all good.
Did they survive, the goldfish? Legally,
they
got to say
they were, technically, yeah. I mean,
technically, yeah. It's a yes or no question, isn't it? They're alive in the mix.
Let's define survive. What do you mean by live?
Are they currently alive?
I don't know about that. When I left, they were cool. I mean, they were fine.
Has anybody ever measured boot space in terms of how many bodies you could get in there?
Not yet, but that gives me an idea.
That'd be a fun one. Like,
you could do that. Yeah.
Serial killer special.
What would be like the most East End vehicle that you could get? What would be like an East End kind of baller car that you could fit bodies in?
It's got to be a Range Rover of some sort. Yeah, Range Rover Sport.
Five and a half grown men you can fit in the back of this one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Get Terry along. Terry's like, oh, fucking hell, I think you can get about eight guys in there. If you chop the legs off, you'd be right, mate. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like to, when I'm testing cars, I like to think of just basically outrageous ways of looking at the car, analysing individual features and trying to bring that to the forefront. Rather than saying, oh, this is a car for like your mum or your dad, it's got four seats, it's got a 2.3 litre engine, blah, 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 0-16, whatever. I do all that stuff as well, but I try and isolate the car's superpower. Like, what is the car good at? And I lead with that. So then the people get hooked in and they figure out something about the car that they might not expect to learn.
Yeah.
And that's always been my philosophy over the years.
Yeah, man. And it comes across quite well. And like I said, you've done some other things that are quite out there as well. You've written a rap for a vehicle as well.
Yeah, yes. The Rolls Royce Ghost. Yeah. That's a funny story. So basically, for people who don't know, I did Top Gear for 3 series.
Really?
I did Top Gear.
Really?
Some people might know.
Is that a little bit like being like on Doctor Who or something? It's such a massive worldwide show that people are obsessed with, lifelong fans.
It was nuts.
And also, Dev, check this. He's one of the only presenters, if not the only presenter, that have just auditioned straight and been picked from your pure talent out of the pool.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. They had auditions, but they never had a public audition.
Yeah.
So a few of the guys had auditions, but they were handpicked and they were brought in to try out and they, you know, proved that they could do it. I was part of a public audition. So around, I think 20,000 people applied to go on the show.
Yeah,
and then we all had to do a 30-second audition tape. And then that got narrowed down to, I don't know, 20 or something. And then you had to go and try out at the track, prove you could drive, prove you could present. And then that got narrowed down to, I don't know, 5. And then in the end, they basically said, they wrote back to me and said, we're not going to pick anyone from, I think, the 5 people that they'd narrowed down. So I was like, I'm not getting this far to get turned away at the last minute. So basically I went away, I called up Rolls Royce, I said, send me a car, like, immediately, please. They sent me a Ghost, and I needed to show what I could do that was different to everyone else. Because I think the final 5 that they got down to, they were all really capable. Everyone was really good at their jobs. Everyone could have done the job, like, no problem. But they were all similar. They were all doing, jumping through the same hoops, doing the same tricks. I wanted to show that I could go left field and do something completely different. So I rapped about Rolls Royce. And I literally, after they sent me an email turning me down for the job, I sent them that clip and said, look, if you get a chance to watch this and then let me know, maybe down the line in the future, if there's another chance to apply, then give me a shout. They called me up the next day and said, you got the job.
Wow.
Sick. Brought it back.
Wow.
That is so sick, man. Yeah. There you go. Round of applause for that, right?
Appreciate that. But that brings me back to the point I was trying to make, where everyone is trying to do the same thing and copy people and going right. Sometimes you got to go left. That's
the
only way you can 100%. Stand out. So I recommend anyone who's coming up in their careers and trying to achieve something different, be different. And to me, that's how you'll stand out.
Yeah, man, 100%. And you're continuing to do that as well, because let's talk about the new venture, because you're continuing. I feel like you've got more freedom at your new role as well.
For sure. Yeah, this is going to be good. It's going to be fun. So I just started up at Auto Trader. I'm doing Auto Trader's YouTube channel. I'm the YouTube director for Auto Trader. And I've got literally all the freedom in the world to do whatever it is I want, to make really cool videos. And I think a lot of places that I've worked at in the past, there was a kind of chain of command where there's a bunch of producers involved, there's a bunch of executives involved, and all of the ideas tend to have to go through many layers of filters before they end up on your screen.
Yeah. And then the bullshit of that as well is that on every level, someone feels that they have to add something or say something.
Oh my God.
Sometimes just to say, I had something to do with this.
Yeah.
Quite often we go out on a shoot and everything's planned to the last detail. And then someone will go, what if we did it like this? And you're like, oh my God, like we literally had about 10 meetings planning this thing. And then someone goes, what if we did it like that? And then it kind of changes everything, and sometimes it works for the better, but quite often it doesn't. But the what I really like about this thing at Auto Trader is that it's all coming from my brain, and I can just pour my creativity into it and do things I've never seen before. Things like putting goldfish in the boot of a car, for God's sake, right? That's what we're bringing.
So
if you want to see cool, innovative car reviews of every single kind of car, I'm talking about everything from the family cars like the Ford Puma to, we just did a review of the McLaren GT versus the Bentley Continental GT. We did a drag race of that. But we're bringing these videos to the forefront, but in different ways, in unique ways. So yeah, check it out, man. YouTube.com/AutoTraderUK. Holla at your boy.
Wow. Sick. It's sick. What can we look forward to? What can you give us a little taste of that you got coming up?
Do you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to do a thing with a guy. There's a guy who, have you seen Iron Man? There's a guy who has this like jet suit, mm-hmm. and he flies around looking like Iron
Man. Oh yeah, yeah, and he's got the arm cannons on it. Yeah, yeah.
When is that going to become commercially available? By the way, I feel like I've seen enough footage of jetpacks.
What's the RRP on that?
What's jetpacks? Yeah. Guys? Come on.
When there's not like a 50% chance of you just blowing up and dying, I reckon.
Nah, I mean, it will be the must-have gift of maybe like 2025 or something like that. But I also predict that'll probably be when a third of the population crash and like die in midair. That's what we'll all do. The second jetpacks become commercially available, a third of the population is going
to
die.
They need to be really expensive.
Be smashing into the side of office buildings, like trees.
How expensive?
I reckon they need to be like 100 grand upwards. Because you don't want teenagers. You always have a teenager with a rich dad. You don't want a £300, like, you know, the hoverboards. Do you remember that? You don't want a £300 Iron Man suit.
But you know what? There's no price that's going to stop people buying it. When you think about cars, you get any dickhead in a car, basically. Yeah. Like, you buy it on PCP. Like, you put a monthly payment down.
Yeah.
Get yourself a jet suit. No problem.
Fuck.
Yeah, so I'm trying to hook that. I'm trying to get a jet suit guy. I'm going to do something mad with him versus a car.
Yeah, that'd be a good look. Yeah,
and you got no link for some jetpacks? I want to do jetpacks.
Not at the moment, no.
I'm not coming back on the show until you got jetpacks.
How much would you pay for a jetpack, though, Dev?
It'd be some sort of like monthly plan, I reckon. I wouldn't want to commit to some sort of like lump sum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you know, I'd put $2,000 down deposit, and then I'd probably pay like $500 a month for a jetpack. Like, think of the commute; it would be awesome. Yeah, and not only that, think of your love life as well. Like, how many girls you could get with a jetpack? Like, you'd be a real life Iron Man.
Oh wow! So you think you could turn heads when you're in like a $180,000 car, right? If you turn up to a restaurant in your iron, park your Iron Man suit up to your lunch, it comes off and you've got a crisp tuxedo underneath.
Yes.
You are getting all the pussy.
No. You know why you're not?
Okay? Why?
Because this is what we've not thought through. Because
you'll crash and fall over on your face.
There's that. But what you mean to tell me, you take your girl out, she's in a nice time and everything, she spent time doing her hair, getting clothes done and everything, right?
Yeah.
And like, well, after the meal, you're just going to go outside and be like, hop on, babe. Hold on to me. She'll be like,
yes.
Nah.
We're talking about,
do you know what?
What, we're going flying through, 2,000 feet above the ground?
100% would happen. You know what?
With my hair like this?
I've seen girls hop on the back of motorcycles all day long.
You're right.
And this is another, and you know what? The danger is going to give you like a rush of adrenaline. Blood's going to be flowing all over the place. Oh my days.
And if your girl doesn't go with you, you think you can't find 10 others that are going to jump on the back of that?
Right now.
Your girl will jump on the back of it out of desperation to be off the challenges coming through.
There's no girl who will let you drop her home on a jetpack.
Bruv, I would let a girl drop me home on a jetpack. Yeah, I would do that, bruv. Do you want to come with me? I'd be like, yep, hold. She could cradle me. She could hold me, like, you know, I could be across her arms. Be fine, bruv. I would ride home in that jetpack with her. I'd be up for it. Think about it. You turn down a little jetpack lift home.
No, I'm just, I'm saying that we've not thought through the practicality. You would look cool on arrival.
Yeah.
But you'd have to do some J-Hus business, okay?
Okay.
You have to arrive in the jetpack and then leave driving a car. You can't drop her home on a jetpack. It's not happening.
I'm going for the jetpack all the way. All the way. And you know what? It'd be weird if you had to stop and fill up as well. where would you fill up your jetpack as well? Just sitting there at the petrol station. But how you been killing time recently though, Rory? I know you've been busy.
I kill a lot of time on the M1 and the M25, getting from shoot to shoot, basically. So what I've been doing is basically just driving a lot. And in that process of driving, what I tend to do is try and analyze the technology inside cars to see what cars give me the most relaxing ride. I was in a BMW M8 yesterday, right? And not proud to say, I was a bit tired. It was a long drive. I was kind of not dozing off, but you know when you're getting a bit like, oh man, it's getting a bit hot, I'm a bit tired. And to my surprise, the car detected, I don't know whether it was by looking at my face with cameras or whether it recognised my driving was going a bit like haywire.
Yeah,
you seem tired.
It was like that. Yeah. It pops
Let
up on
me
the screen.
Drive for you.
It had the self-driving mode like a Tesla as well. It was doing that already. But it basically popped up on the screen and it said, do you want to be revitalized? And I was like,
oh wow,
all right. So I pressed the button. And do you know what it
says? Enclosure.
It was a bit like that because it turned up the air conditioning, yeah. So it made the car cold. And then it started playing like rave music. And then, you know, it's got like ventilated seats.
Yeah,
it's like blowing cold air up my ass. And I was like, yep, I am wide awake now.
Would you like me to toss your salad? Revitalize you.
Oh mate.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Shout out to the BMW M8. It was good. I've also been, what have I been saying? I've been playing with cameras recently, man. I've been trying to figure out like new cool ways of doing camera work that to get like interesting shots that other people haven't got before. So I was rolling around on the Isle of Wight and with a Russian arm. I don't know if you know what a Russian arm is.
A little bit like the dick cam you showed me last time I was here.
Oh, that was the GoPro that goes over your penis.
Russian arm
sounds like a really good cocktail, by the way. That sounds like something you go to a bar and say, the guy goes, so what do you want? You go, I'll have two Russian arms.
Or it sounds like a sex position.
Yeah.
what would that be? Want to be on the receiving end of.
She told me her favourite position was the Russian arm.
Yeah. It involves like a ton of snow or something like that, yeah.
I walk with limp.
In Russia, the arm rushes you.
No, Russian arm is a pickup truck with this huge hydraulic arm on the back of it. Have you seen the film Flight of the Navigator?
Yeah,
the alien thing like moves around.
Oh yeah.
So the arm moves around like that all around the pickup truck. Oh. So it films the car as you drive from like any angle you want. This arm's like a robotic arm that has a camera on the end of it. So I've been messing around with that.
Did we overlook the fact in Flight of the Navigator that alien essentially kidnapped that boy for about 30 years? Is that not what happened?
Just saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you remember, he goes back to his family and they're all growing up and they're like, it's really sad. I'm like, oh, he's
lost his childhood.
He got kidnapped.
That goes into like the same box as Macaulay Culkin's parents in Home Alone. Like,
ooh, the worst parents in the world.
The worst parents in the world.
But that was by accident. I mean, like,
no,
twice.
Come on.
How many films with Macaulay Culkin were there? Was it two? Did he do two or three? He did two, didn't he?
There were 87 Home Alones. Okay, and every single one of them, he got left behind.
Yeah.
I think secretly,
there's a trend.
They wanted him to die.
There's a trend.
That's what they wanted.
They didn't like him. Yeah,
they were hoping he would have an accident at home.
Yeah,
like he would eat too much ice cream or something like that, slip and fall down the stairs, right, and he would die. I think that's secretly what the McAllisters were hoping for.
Mm. It was like a horror movie,
we're
really.
Trying to kill Kevin.
He was a little bastard, though.
Yeah.
So what else I've been playing with?
Yeah,
you know the 360 cameras, the Insta360X?
Yes, yes.
So we've been doing some drag races. We did the McLaren GT versus Bentley Continental GT. It's really cool drag race because the Bentley's got four-wheel drive, less power and more weight, but the McLaren is lighter, more powerful, but rear-wheel drive. And we tested them like basically in the wet. So the video will be up soon, but we had 360 cameras on, so you could see like all around the car. You could like follow the car from different angles and look around and see exactly where the rival car is as it's pulling up alongside and all that stuff. So 360 cameras, I'm big into at the moment.
I think that's an exciting kind of area because, like you said, there's loads of stuff that you can do. You pre-shoot live 360 stuff's pretty cool as well. There's people putting up sticks in concerts with a 360 on it, and other people are just experiencing the vibe.
Yeah.
And the quality's there as well. Like 2 years ago, you know, love to my guys Insta360. It was okay. Mm. Like, but if you shot anything, it kind of looked a bit grainy, but now
it's getting
there. Looking crisp,
it's
isn't
definitely
it?
Getting there. And you haven't got to like aim the camera at anything. If you got it on a selfie stick, you just hold it up, and then later on, that's when you do the work. That's where you edit it to make sure that you're focused in on the right place and all that stuff. So the post-production is where the skill is. If you haven't got any talent in terms of filming, get yourself a 360 camera.
That's dope that you're kind of mixing together those two things that you're passionate about. Because there's a lot of things I tell. Like even my nephew and like if like you know young people or whatever ask me about getting into telly and radio, one thing I'm always going on about is have the passion first and then find a way to like how can you make that into your job? Don't think like what's going to make me loads of money or
that's true.
And I think certainly the way that the trend seems to be going now, people are a lot smarter. They cotton on to, oh, you're just doing this for the money, or oh, I can tell that somebody has a real passion about what they're doing. You can hear it in the way that people talk. They're sort of cottoning on a lot more now.
Yeah. What I would say to people as well is focus on the core subjects, because people might say, right, how do you end up on telly? How do you end up doing a podcast? How do you end up writing for a magazine? There's no like magic wand that you can wave. What I did, I can only speak from personal experience, is I focused on English in school. So my vague talent was my ability to write and tell stories. So by being good at English, that gave me the option in the future to write for a magazine, to write scripts that would end up on TV. So by using that core subject, that gave me the path that I could take literally anywhere I wanted, whether it was computer games, whether it was technology, whether it was cars. By having that doing the groundwork in the beginning, doing what the fuck your teacher tells you, right? And concentrating in school, even if you don't do that, you can do it later. But by doing the groundwork, you can then take that path wherever you want to take it. So focus in the beginning and then, you know, sky's the limit really.
So English was your forte and you can write stories. What's the Rory Reid book going to be looking like then?
Oh, it's mad. It's mad. Do you know what? I've had a few offers for book deals. I wrote a children's book actually, because I got three children. So I wanted to kind of, show my kids illustrate the power of words, to show that what you write down can actually, you know, uplift someone else or take them on an emotional journey or paint a picture for them. So I'm big into the children really. So I'm not even concentrating on trying to raise my profile in any particular way. I'm just interested in doing cool shit like I'm doing on Auto Trader UK, and also uplifting the next generation. That's my big motivation.
Yeah, man, it would be nice to hear more about that story though. I'll be honest with you, as a young person, it'd be nice to see a black man who's kind of transitioning through the industry, writing a lot of content and producing content, you know, to get inside the mind of you, man. Write that book.
Yeah, man.
Just saying, man, write
coming.
That book.
Right, it's coming, it's coming. Right, it's coming. Cool. When I finish throwing goldfish in the boot of cars, it's coming.
The chapter is about all the animals that died.
Oh, mate, yeah, that's a separate book.
So when you're like in cars, what's been one of the most impressive things apart from this revitalization / blowjob that is probably going to be in there in the next M8? Yeah,
Salatos mode.
Salatos mode.
Tossing salad.
Yes. A little tissue comes out of the arm afterwards. Oh, thanks.
Wipe yourself off.
Everyone's
now get the fuck out.
You disgust me.
That's all about the leather, the wipe clean seats.
Yeah.
You know what? Everyone's talking about self-driving cars and how that's going to be a big thing in the future.
Yeah.
I think it's coming. I was lucky enough to be involved in a test of a Range Rover Sport with Land Rover up in Coventry, where they demonstrated an actual self-driving car. So I was sat in the back seat and the laptop was plugged into the, you know, ODB port and all that stuff, the little computer port where they plug stuff into. And they programmed in a route for the car to take. And we went on this 2 mile drive where the car was in control of everything. And it was just fascinating to see because even it was capable of doing it. It drove completely by itself and it could like avoid hazards and all this stuff. But what really surprised me was how like jerky the motions were. It was like driving with someone who'd only passed their test a week ago.
Interesting.
So even when they make it like when they roll it out into the real world where you'll be able to actually experience it. It will be like we're going to be sat in cars and it's going to piss us off because you'll see that there's a space to pull out and the car's going to be like, nope, I got to wait for like a 100-yard gap around everything, and it will end up pissing people off. So what I'm looking forward to is artificial intelligence, where the cars learn over time how the passenger likes to be driven. So it's not just about sitting in the car and having it take you from A to B. I would want to be driven in a particular way. You know, when you get in a taxi and the driver's doing a really shit job, like he's being too slow, or he's like weaving between lanes, and you get a bit frustrated.
Yeah.
For a self-driving car, I think it's essential that the car learns your preferences and your behavior. And I think artificial intelligence, that's going to be one of the huge things in the world of automotive coming up, not necessarily just in electric cars or self-driving cars, but AI to dig down into the preferences of the people in the car to figure out how they want to be driven, how they want their salad tossed, all that stuff.
You know the intensity I like.
Because you can toss a salad all wrong, man. Like, apparently.
Wearing rings. That's like torture, isn't it?
Always go light.
How do you kill times when you're not in cars? Be honest, if that's not an often thing for you then, because of what you're up to nowadays, that's cool, but what do you like to do outside of that, man?
I watch a lot of YouTube.
Really? What are you watching?
I like watching like creative stuff. So filmmakers, cinematographers who I like to learn how to make films look better in terms of how to tell a story visually, because that influences me in how I tell my stories visually. Mm. You know, how to choose the right camera angles and all that stuff. It all comes down to the same kind of thing. Like, how can I make my content better at the end of the day? I like to learn from other people. So I like to watch people. There's a channel called Make Art Now. This guy who basically shows you how to make cool YouTube videos, but in really creative ways, and how to use your camera, no matter what that camera is, to come up with some really interesting, visually compelling stuff. So I'm all about learning, man. If I'm on YouTube and I can learn something and take something away from it, then that's my thing.
Yeah, I've only just like started realizing that you can take certain recommended videos out of your algorithm and out of your feed, because I've noticed that I'll try and use YouTube for creative stuff, but it's very easy for me to get distracted. It'll be like, oh, let me sit down and, I don't know, learn something. And then in the little side panel, it will be like, do you want to watch a compilation of missed high fives? And I'm like, go on then. Yeah, you know what I like.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of music as well. Back in the day, before there were music streaming services like Spotify and Napster and all this stuff, I used to basically use YouTube as my streaming service. And I used to have my laptop in my backpack, jumping on the tube with headphones plugged into the, not the tube necessarily, but on trains, with headphones plugged into the laptop, playing music that I found on YouTube.
Amazing.
Yes. So like that, I want to say, I didn't invent it.
You invented Spotify.
Spotify, that's where I'm going with that. But I think YouTube's a fascinating platform, man. I think it's one of the greatest platforms out there, not only because I'm on it and I do stuff on it, but I think you can learn stuff on there, you can listen to music on there. It's got everything from, you know, from studying languages to missed high fives to cats, whatever you want. it's just such a dope platform. And I spend literally all my time when I'm not like raising children or driving on camera on YouTube.
It's a library, man. That's where kids go to learn shit.
Can we watch some missed high fives?
Shall we watch some missed high fives?
You'd be surprised how satisfying it is to watch, because it's such a weird social faux pas thing, isn't it? To go to shake someone's hand and you shake it the wrong way, or you think they're going to go in for a fist bump and, oh no, now my hand's open and we kind of...
Is there one that's doing it for you out of these, by the way?
Let's go for... Do you know what? Right at the top. What is that?
Impossible try not to cringe challenge. Okay.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of like political ones.
High fives.
Oh,
let's
is that
see.
A game event? Oh, fist bump. Why is that so funny to me? That I don't know.
Oh, look at that. Is that handshake?
He thinks he's going to... Does it look like he thinks he's going to shake his hand? He held out his hand to shake it.
No, didn't get it.
A big one as well. You hold your hand out for somebody to shake it, and they haven't seen.
You get Gordon Ramsay.
Like this guy.
He tried to start it. So I know this isn't great for the listener.
Yeah,
but I don't know what it is. This is something
A space missed high five.
Is there an etiquette? Is there an...
Oh, the guy went right down the middle and missed everybody.
Dev, is there an etiquette for, like, is there a preferred technique to not fall victim to this?
I think...
But in barbershops, when you're, like, saying hello to your barber and things like that.
All right, I think it's like this, okay? One of you has to initiate the handshake. So if I'm coming towards you, like, how's it going, Rory? Nice to see you. You can see what one I'm going for.
Right.
You don't then decide, actually, now, do you know what? Okay. I'd prefer... No. One of us has already initiated it, right?
Yeah.
So we're going in for just a regular handshake.
Not everyone does that. Some people go in with the palm open and the fingers wide apart. So you don't know what... And it's slightly angled. So you don't know which one that is. What do you do?
I'll say, do you know the most mental one I've ever had, right? I remember being in New York when I was a little kid. And the handshake takes like 45 minutes to shake somebody's hand. They went in with like a kind of clap to the side. And then as you're pulling away... The thumbs connect,
there
was a kind of click thing going on.
That
like,
noise.
I was like, what is that?
It's that the thumb.
Oh, the thumb one,
when the thumbs connect.
Because I've done the thumb and then the click afterwards.
Do you know what's weird is when strangers do that to you? Because I think that's quite like intimate in a way.
Someone's
thumb touches your thumb, you're thinking, nah.
Don't touch my thumbs.
You don't know me like that. Come on.
I'll tell you what I don't like, all right? In a meeting setting, I don't know if it's something about the way that I dress, maybe whatever, but in a meeting, only a handshake. Only handshakes in meetings.
Standard issue handshake.
Not a hug.
Don't try and do that. No, you know I don't like.
What do you call it? What do you call the other one?
Don't try and do, you know what I mean. Don't try and do the. don't try and do it. Don't try and shake
buddy.
My hand like we're boys.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Do you know what I've actually started doing? And it's probably lost me quite a lot of work, but I don't care because I'm stubborn and I'm sticking to it, right? Rory, I'm going to try and shake your hand normally, okay? Yeah. You just attempt to go into the
other one.
We know each other, like kind of.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
How's it going, Rory? Nice to meet you. How you doing? You all right? How's it going? How you doing?
You
alright?
Yeah. So you deliberately you block it.
You pulled it back.
I refused that. Like, we are in
a professional setting.
Okay. Again, I've probably like lost out on a lot of. That's an old Dave Chappelle skit, right? The when keeping it real goes wrong. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Shake my hand no more.
This guy's not my.
Shake my hand one more time. Try
my
that
hand
again.
No goddamn time.
Ooh. Speaking of handshakes, did I tell you have I shared the Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx story?
No, please tell us.
This might also lead me somewhere.
One second, I don't know if you heard that, Rory, but those names that Dev just dropped on the floor just made a bit of noise there, bro.
No,
we'll just pick them up and put them back on the table.
I'm trying to
go. Go.
Come here now, it's my job.
I do this every day.
I hope this doesn't lose me any work, right? And I had a lovely interaction with Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan. But there was a bit of a weird thing that happened with Michael B. Jordan, and I just wanted to discuss it with you guys, and you lot tell me whether you think it's fine or whether you think it was a par.
All right.
So the plan is I go to a location in central London to interview Jamie Foxx, and do you know what? I feel so awful. The guy who the film Just Mercy is written about, John Stevenson.
Yes,
his name is. Sorry. He was also there as well. Lovely guy. So I get told that I'm going to meet Michael, Jamie, before the event, I'm going to be waiting in their green room. Already I know this is going to be weird because I'm not anywhere near their level. If I go somewhere and they're like, oh, just over here, Dad, this is your green room, and I walk in there and there's some random dude sitting there with his manager, I'm going to be like, who the fuck is this, right? Given. So I already know, like, oh, this is going to be a little bit odd. So first person to come into the green room, Michael B. Jordan, and he's with 4 or 5 people in the entourage, okay? And first thing I notice, it's on 2 phones. And what it looks like to me is copying information from one phone into another phone. You know, new country, whatever, new phone, whatever. I don't know what it is, right? So I stand up to kind of say hello. He looks at me. He looks up from the phones and he looks at me like how I would look at somebody who's in my green room. Like, who are you? And I recognize this. So I kind of acknowledge him as this to go, oh, hi, how's it going? You know. And then the woman who's like facilitating the whole thing says, oh, this is Dev. He's going to be hosting the event today. So I kind of hold my hand out to shake his hand, and he's got the 2 phones in his hands. And he sort of looks at me like, well, you
know. I got 2 phones, bro.
I got these two. And I kind of look back at him like, and now you're going to put that phone down.
Oh, wow.
But maybe, let me not fuck about it because, you know, that is Killmonger that I'm looking at right now. Mm. So, you know, like, that is Apollo Creed's son. So let me just, like, relax. And he didn't shake my hand. He kind of looked like, oh, dude, sorry, I got the phone in my hand.
I got these
and
phones,
I looked at him like, come on, dude, don't make me hold my hand out in front of all these people. And you know,
were you holding your hand out?
I'm like this. The hand was out. Like, here you go. Do you know what he did? Offer me an elbow.
He gave you an elbow dap.
He went like that.
Is Michael B. Jordan East Coast or West Coast? Because in New York, I'm seeing elbow daps are like, you know, that's what you hand out to somebody that you just, you don't want to shake the hand.
Come on. Think, look at it. Look how minimal effort this is. Watch. I know this is rubbish for people listening, right?
That's
right. Watch the effort of me extending my elbow.
I'm going to put my hand out.
Watch.
So did you?
That might not even have been him extending an elbow in a greeting to you. It might have been like, "Fuck off!"
Yeah, get you. I didn't know what to do. Back. I was like, "Do I squeeze it or?" So
did you elbow back?
No, I ended up going boop. I just gave him a little.
You spudded his elbow.
Yeah. You punched Michael B. Jordan's elbow.
I punched his elbow.
So you punched him. You punched Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, you know.
Fact.
Yeah, I punched him. Gave him a little granddad. So 2 seconds later, Jamie Foxx walks into the room. Jamie looks at me like how I would look at somebody who's in my green room. Who the fuck is this guy? And then the woman says the same thing. Oh, this is Dev, by the way, Jamie. He's going to be hosting the Q&A. And then Jamie does what I think you're supposed to do when you're someone like Jamie Foxx or Michael B. Jordan. He goes, all right, okay, nice to meet you. Shakes my hand and turns around.
Leaves.
And carries on with what he's doing. He's given me a second and a half of acknowledgement and it's back to be Jamie Foxx again. I'll probably never exchange two more words with him, apart from the Q&A that I ran after that. But I'll probably never exchange two more words with him. But I was a little bit gutted. Like, the thing that annoyed me the most is Michael B. Jordan tried to act like I ran up to him and I was like, Wakanda, bro! What's going on? Like, I didn't do that. I went, how's it going? Nice to meet you.
And then you had to interview them afterwards.
Yeah.
How did that go?
The interview was actually really, really good.
So were you like, did you give Michael B. Jordan some airtime? You're like, so talk about your character film. He's like, Jamie, did you keep him moving like that?
This was a really difficult thing. It's such a good film and really heavy subject. And I thought the film was brilliant. And I, you know, thought a lot about the questions that I wanted to ask. And Michael was so like professional when we got out on stage, and there was lots of eye contact and stuff. And, you know, answering the questions really well. And
he knew who you were.
Right, but at one point, I wanted to turn to the crowd and go, great. He was really mean to me. In the green room, he wouldn't even shake my hand and gave me an elbow. Isn't that really rude?
But Dave, hold on. You're famous, yeah? Let me ask you this, right? When you're famous, a lot of people try and shake your hand. And that's fine. But there's a lot of people out there who are, like, disgusting and don't wash their hands and touch all sorts of things. If you're shaking 50... 60, 70, 100 people's hands a day, don't you sometimes want to go with an elbow?
I understand and I agree with you, but...
Or do you do that thing where you carry wet wipes around?
You could do that. You could carry around a little bit of antibac.
Alcohol,
but
yeah.
I just think it's a different story once somebody's already put their hand out. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
did he look at your palm? Did he look in the palm of your hand?
We looked... This is how it happened,
okay?
Yeah. I put my hand out.
Yeah.
He looked down at my hand. And then we caught eyes. He looked at the phones. And then we caught eyes again. And like I said, I was trying to communicate with my eyes. Please put your phone down for 2 seconds to shake my hand and don't embarrass me in front of everybody. But he didn't pick up on that.
Mugged you off. Did he shake your hand when he left the stage?
Yes. After
the-
Did you squeeze your hand?
Well, no, because let's not forget that he would definitely kick the shit out of me. Like, if it got down to a little, you wouldn't shake my hand, like, he would destroy me.
That's facts.
But then, thanks very much.
No, it's facts.
But then, remember what he did? He shook my hand, I turned to my manager and I went, oh, now I get a real fucking handshake, do I?
Yeah. Mike was still on. Oh shit, Mike's on.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, did anyone else hear that? Sorry about that, guys. Well, not really weird though. Never meet your heroes. That's what they say.
Wow.
Never me. Yes.
Wow. And as an older to him as well, that's a bit disrespectful as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, really annoying. There's actually a song I really enjoy working out to. You know The King's Dead, Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah.
And they have a line in there about all hell King Killmonger.
And you're like, nah, can't listen to this anymore.
No, I'm not, but I still listen to it, but I'm not going to lie. Like, the few times I've heard it since that incident.
Can you watch a Michael B. Jordan movie now? Or does that spoil it for you?
It's mild a little bit. The experience is mild.
There's some people I met and I can't watch them anymore because I've met them and it's ruined the mystique somewhat.
Who was mean to you?
I'm not gonna say it on air. It's gonna be in the book.
Okay. See.
It's gonna be in the chapter after how to kill fish in a boot.
without saying names though, like what's like a bad experience you might have had? Is it something they said or just the way they acted towards you?
Nah, do you know what? What I will say is the bigger the star, the more of an entourage they have. And what you tend to have is agents. So some people will roll with multiple agents. And those people are the ones that tend to be quite mean, because what they'll do is they'll try and protect their client as much as possible.
Yeah.
And they'll try and mug you off to make it look like they're doing as good a job as possible for their client. And then they'll go to their client and go, oh, this dickhead was like trying to like, you know, do whatever. But I protected you. I jumped in and I sorted it all out. So I find that like agents are the ones that tend to jump in and paint a bad picture of their clients,
yeah.
Especially when the client's massive.
But then, do you know the other thing I picked up on quite a lot, and I know because I do this all the time, is if you got a good manager, they get to be an asshole on your behalf.
There you go. Yeah. So
if someone asks you to do something or say something, you get to turn to your manager and go, tell them I don't want to do this shit. Like, you get to go, oh, I'd totally love to, but you know, I'm being, probably shouldn't put this out there, should
my
I?
My manager
I'm
won't let me.
I'm giving the game away.
I think you just given the whole fucking game away, Dev.
I'm giving the game away.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to my agent.
It's like Dev's security guard when he went to Vegas as well, that he used to kind of dispose of some women. He was like to security. Yeah. You might as well tell the story.
Yeah, I was like, don't make it just sound like I was being mean for no reason, all right? Someone was trying to take advantage of me, and I was like, you're going to take advantage of me? I don't take advantage of you. Before you take advantage of me, I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas, Rory, but it's set up specifically for guys with money to hang out and party with lots of girls, right? Yeah, yeah. Now, if you go there with not a lot of money, like how I went, but you're trying to give off the appearance that you do, you have to buy a table, you have to get bottle service, otherwise you get treated like a fucking scumbag.
That runs into hundreds, thousands.
Thousands, mate. Yeah. I don't want to think about it. I'm still recovering financially from Vegas.
That's crazy.
So,
you know what? When you get bottle service, you don't want anyone, just anyone coming up going, oh, let me get that Bacardi. You know, that's your bottle.
That got real personal. So I actually worked. All right, so the first table I got in Vegas, but I'm saying the second the foil got unwrapped from the bottle that we got taken from
you
the table.
That bottle.
I'm like, who the fuck all these random girls that I'm showing up, like poking up from behind pillars and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Does someone say syrup? Like, where are all these girls coming from? And then I quickly realised, oh, they're absolutely taking the piss. They show up, hey, where you guys from? Oh, from the UK, woo! And just get themselves a drink.
You hold that bottle, you clutch.
I started realising, that's basically what they have in their hands is like $80 a sip. So I'm not just going to let any fucking girl, like, if you and all your mates who look like Halle Berry want to come over and chill at the table, absolutely fine. Do you know what I'm saying? But what, a couple of fours just showing up?
Whoa.
A couple of fours showing
up. That's terrible, Dev. That is terrible behavior.
Trying to get a piss out of me.
That's terrible.
So yeah, I turned to the bouncer who was looking after our table and I said, don't do it right now, but when I walk away, please tell all of these lovely young ladies to leave.
These fours.
And he didn't even wait till I took one step away from the booth before he turned around and went, okay, ladies, wrap it up, let's go. But I, my favorite part of the story, though, no argument. They all got up.
They all left. They knew the routine. Vegas is dope, man. Every January, Vegas, they have CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And it's one of the, I've been to Vegas probably 10 times.
Wow.
And like Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show is amazing because you get to try out all the latest tech. It's always like new TVs, 4K, 5K, 6K, 8K, like all the latest mobile phones and a load of like sex toys, because I don't know if it happens now, but back in the day, they also had the AVNs. I think it was AVNs. Maybe that's an award show. I don't know. But it's like there's a sex.
That was it. Yeah, festival. The AVNs. Yeah, yeah. Because that's where I saw, before we press record, I saw Destiny Diaz was something to do with the AVNs. And I was talking to the guys. I clicked into the AVN hashtag.
Some of
and there was a lot going on there. Yeah, yeah, it's the AVNs. Yeah.
Those categories are wild. To be like best double anal scene or something. Like,
why not?
Yeah. Best.
But it's most penises sucked in. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. 30 minutes. The best balls.
What are the best? I don't know if there's phallic awards or not. The
winner of best balls.
Shiniest helmet award. Helmet of the year award.
There must be. But yeah, no. It's Vegas. Yeah. Vegas is a magical place. I recommend you go once and never return.
So what happens when you have a bunch of nerds and then the AVN awards happening at the same time?
You end up going to clubs where the porn stars mingle with the nerds and then the nerds realize, they recognize that he might have masturbated to like maybe 60% of the women in the room.
Yeah.
And then they disappear early, go up to their rooms and, you know,
take the fresh memories, yeah, the organic memories,
yeah,
back.
There you go, there you go. Yeah.
Get into their room and their room AI goes, "You look like you need refreshing."
Shout out to Vegas, man.
I hear that, man. You know what though? That scenario that you told us about with Michael B. Jordan and the Vegas scenario reminded me of some things called Am I the Arseholes? Which is this kind of section on Reddit that I've been checking out.
Yeah, yeah,
have you heard about
these?
Yeah. So it's like loads of little stories about Am I the Arsehole? So I'll give you an example of one. Because in your story though, Dev, I'm kind of thinking, is Michael B. Jordan the arsehole? Was it an important set of messages?
I'm saying, right, I love Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. He's a very, very talented actor. I totally get what Rory was saying. I'm probably the 20,000th person he met that week.
All right,
did
cool.
The Q&A and had to shake hands with. But to not give me a second and a half just to shake my hands when everyone is so okay. Embarrassing.
Yeah. So you'd say, is it
me look like such a beg? And I wasn't begging it. If I was,
did you look
cool.
Like a competition winner who like,
yeah,
did.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah.
Like a sick kid or something who'd been like
cold. So is he an arsehole, yes or no? You'd say
no,
yeah. You feel
no,
like yeah.
I don't think so. I just thought it was a bit rude.
That's Rory, do you think he was being an arsehole?
I'm trying to put myself in his shoes and a guy comes up to me, I've got two phones in my hand, I'm trying to like transfer my numbers across. I give him the elbow. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all saying he's the arsehole.
Yeah. You're too close.
Alright, let me give you an example of Am I the Arsehole though, right? Because we might do this again if this flows alright. So this is somebody who says, I train in jiu-jitsu, which is a martial art where people roll around and wrestle on the ground. There is one person, probably mid-30s male chubby, who attends my class, and as I do, he's always had a minor hygiene issue. I've never considered it enough to say anything, but we're not exclusively paired together. Nobody else in the class has commented on it. Now today was especially bad enough. He either straight up shit his pants or didn't bother to wipe, because we got into this position where his ass was basically in my face and the stench was overpowering. I tapped him just to get him off me, like tapping out. Luckily, he did it just before I rolled over and vomited onto the mat.
Wow.
My instructor asked me if I was sick because of the illness going around. Is it that norovirus or something like that? And I said, insert the guy's name. No, it's because he smelled like shit. I was so angry and disgusted, it came out all honest and loud, but it was so loud enough for everyone else to hear, including the guy in question in the class. I ran out of the studio in tears. Okay, tears, a bit strong.
Is this a guy?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, who knows? I ran out of the studio in tears and the gym got closed early and I had to clean up, I had to help clean up the mess. I did stay behind to clean up the mess. Am I the arsehole for that?
He vomited.
He or she vomited because of the stench of someone's arsehole and then said, "Why he fucking stinks, man."
Bleah. I think that's...
Let's call him Michael to give Dev a bit of to help with this one.
So, yeah. I want to work.
So Michael's over. Michael's.
I want to work again after this. Okay.
So. I think even in a situation like that, you got to be respectful of people that are less fortunate than yourselves. Maybe the guy has an illness. There's people out there who've got illnesses that stop them wiping their arsehole. Maybe they can't reach. He's got arthritis.
Well, then you're not allowed to do jiu-jitsu then, right? And if you want to, you got to get some one-on-one lessons. If you have a condition where your arsehole always smells like shit,
stay out the gym.
Or you know, like if you're unfortunate enough to have one of those conditions where like, you know, you just, you do shower and stuff, but maybe it smells like it's not, you're not allowed to do jiu-jitsu, bro. Yeah, sorry.
It's not for you. But throwing up, that's a bit extreme though. Like I've never smelt something like that, where that upset me to that point where I literally had to throw up on the spot. That's, to me, the guy's, he's overreacted. He's an asshole.
Have you ever taken a deep huff of a man's asshole though?
I never have. I'd expect it. Imagine that, you're winded as well because you're wrestling, so like, you go
I don't even think Marcus would take this the wrong way. Marcus, I've known for a very, very long time. I know that Marcus has got good hygiene, right?
I've got great hygiene.
I know that for a fact, yeah. Right? If I took
a deep huff.
If I took a deep huff of your...
Take your time.
Marcus, I've known you for a long time.
Yep.
If I took a deep huff of your arsehole, I would vomit, okay? There you go. I'd be sick all over myself. I'd never get over it.
I didn't know that minty fresh talcum powder would make you throw up like that, bro.
It's not that. It's just the... And I imagine it... I've done a couple of jiu-jitsu classes before, and I remember that there was some move that we were doing where...
Yeah, how intimate do you get?
Very intimate. Listen, I've fucked people. I've not been that intimate. Right? There was a couple of moves that we did where the dude's, the back of the dude's thigh is dragging across my face. I remember in that moment, right? Like the third time we had to do that same move, as this dude's bristly thighs, back of the thighs, dragging over my face. I remember thinking,
slight violation there.
Fuck this.
Slight violation.
I'd rather get beaten up,
mate. You win the fight, bro. You win the fight. Yeah. That's the move that wins you the fight.
I'd rather get knocked out in front of my friends than have to get this bristly thigh dragged over my face.
So yeah, they're just like,
should have stayed in jujitsu.
Brunzy, what do you think? Is he an asshole for this?
I feel like they didn't mean to say that he stank. So do you know what I mean? Like they thought they said it under their breath, but in the heat of the moment, with like vomit coming out of their nose and mouth at the same time, like, he fucking stinks. He fucking stinks.
Yeah, and then because it's when you make allowances for other people, they've gone out of their way to not make this other person feel uncomfortable to the point where they've made themselves ill, and now they're the person getting looked at. You're disgusting. Yeah. No, I'm not the disgusting person. That's in what this it situation. Is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say not the asshole in this one. And if I had to go back and wrestle with this guy again, I'd fucking finish the job. Come on here, you stinky asshole, bruv.
I'm going the other side. I think he's got to be more sensitive to the guy's needs. Yeah, man.
Okay.
You can't just throw up on someone, man, and then say they stink. throwing up's enough.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
Pull him to one side. How does that conversation go, though? You pull him to one side. Listen, I'm saying this to you as a mate. All right? You smell kind of bad.
You can't come here.
To the point where it feels like you're not wiping your asshole properly, mate. And I'm just saying this as somebody who cares about you.
But because of that, I know I'm a sweaty man. I genuinely shower before the gym because I've been in the gym and I know some guys are just like, just hold a little fresh before I go to the gym. And they're having a very strong workout and you can smell them. And I'm like, that's not cool. So therefore, I want to know that when I'm in the gym, I'm not doing that to others. Do you know what I mean? Plus,
right,
there's buddies
right.
as well. You know, people come up to you and be like, hey, how's it going, man? You don't want to come up and say, hey, how's your work going, man?
There's a massive difference between a bit of BO and then
of course.
Straight up doo-doo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if I go through the effort to make sure that I shower before the gym.
Yeah, so should
All right, fair enough. But am I the arsehole? Let us know what you think, right?
They're both arseholes.
Yeah.
They're both. One more literal than the other. Was actually smelling of arsehole. Right, Dev, before we wrap up the show, you've been trying out Duolingo, right?
See?
Okay, so I have found some phrases for you, okay? Some in Spanish, and then we have the English translation. Right.
Okay.
So we're gonna throw some out there. Is that all right? Should we find some Spanish music as well, Rory? What do you think?
Yeah, let's find some stereotypical Spanish. Yeah.
Well, I was asking Rory. I wasn't asking you, was I, bro?
So. Are we going Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake, what?
Señorita, feeling for you. It's the only bit of Spanish in that song.
Is it? Is there any Spanish in that?
No, just Señorita. I could go.
All right, so I've got some phrases for you. There's four phrases.
Doesn't it sound really Spanish when I go like this? Watch.
No.
Nah.
No.
No. Nah.
You know what sounds hella Spanish?
Yeah! Is it?
Yeah. More than.
No. If I didn't do that, though, you didn't listen to it. Watch.
If it went up, sounds there. You go. So do it and give it a different intonation.
You do one. Nah, he did too much.
That's proper.
Wait.
Needs a bit more work, doesn't he? It's all right though. Duolingo hopefully has a section where you can just go,
That's the intro.
What's the translation?
Why does that sound Spanish?
Right, you ready for your first phrase, Dev?
Okay,
all right, cool.
Hola, guapa. ¿Bailamos?
Hello, handsome. Does it say dance much? ¿Bailamos?
Let's have another go.
Hola, guapa. ¿Bailamos?
Hello, handsome or beautiful or good looking. Bailar, I think, is dance. Más, more. Do you want to dance with me or let's dance some?
Well, let's find out.
Hello, beautiful. Shall we dance?
Oh! He's got his first one. Yeah. If he gets it right, then. All right, ready for your next one, Dev?
Bueno.
¿Sabías que yo salía en programas de televisión para niños?
Wow.
So leer is read. Something about reading with the kids. Something, let me hear it again.
¿Sabías que yo salía en programas de televisión para niños?
Do you read the television programs with the kids or something like that?
One more time, or should we go through?
One last time.
¿Sabías que yo salía en programas de televisión para niños?
Yes. Oh, do you watch TV programs with your kids?
I mean, you got the gist, Dev.
Did you know I used to be on children's television?
Ah, so that one was written from the point of view of Dev, and I think from moving forward, we might have some more from the POV of Dev.
Did you know?
And the answer to that would be.
See.
Sí.
Sí. That's the answer to everything.
Yeah.
¿Te gustaría visitar mi hotel? No está lejos.
Wait, one more time.
¿Te gustaría visitar mi hotel? No está lejos.
Do you want to visit my hotel? No está lejos.
Girl, you want to come to my hotel?
That's a direct collision.
We have the hotel. Holiday. Los lojos. Is it something about, do you want to come to my hotel and use your eyes? Or?
¿Te gustaría visitar mi hotel? No está lejos.
Visit my hotel. No está lejos.
I'm so naked.
Come to my... That sounds
come to my hotel and get your leg over. Let's find out.
Would you like to visit my hotel? It's not far from here.
Ooh.
You're getting the gist, though. And is this all off Duolingo? Real talk. This is not just some paid ad that we're doing.
Visit my hotel. It's in walking distance. No, I swear. Yeah, okay, I'm learning all of this off Duolingo.
Final one. I feel like you've gained points. You've not gotten totally correct, but you're wading through.
Yeah.
Get me? All right.
Wait. So what are you shaking your head for, producer Billy?
This next one, listen.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were shaking your head. Like, nah, you did shit, mate.
Billy just takes his dick out because that's only that's the only language he speaks. He goes like,
translate this.
Yeah. Is that the... Right. The final one.
No solo tengo cuenta premium con Duolingo, sino también con Pornhub.
Hey! We all got the last word.
I don't pay for Duolingo, I pay for Pornhub.
One more time.
No solo tengo cuenta premium con Duolingo, sino también con Pornhub.
I have a premium Duolingo, but not Pornhub. One of those ways around, I fucked it up somewhere, but something about you've got a premium, your Tengo, I have... A premium subscription to Duolingo también, I think, is as well as you got to both. I've got a premium subscription with Duolingo and Pornhub.
No solo tengo cuenta premium con Duolingo, sino también con Pornhub. I don't just have a premium account on Duolingo, I have Pornhub too.
Oh, come on, Dave! Fucking up. That's
you
all.
Saw him, we fell in.
And that is all just that's all Pornhub. That's all just straight premium Pornhub that you used to learn that.
Spanish
just
section.
Latino porn. Yeah.
A lot of premium Pornhub, dude.
Yeah. Oh, that's sick, man. Well, anyway, before we get out of here, Rory, where can everyone find you? Please let us know, because I've seen some of these videos that you're putting out and they're fucking awesome, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, mainly find me on AutoTraderUK, youtube.com/AutoTraderUK if you want to see some really cool video content. Plus my socials are at Mr. Rory Reed on everything.
Thank you. Man. And we'd love to have you back on the show soon, man, for some tech talk and some car talk as well, bro.
Yeah, man, awesome. Yeah, anytime.
Cool. And how about you, Dev? Where can we find you, mate?
I'm Dev.
In Spanish, please.
Yo soy Dev. The Instagram. Also,
just say it in an accent. It's not racist at all. Crack on.
Also, I have my new podcast coming out. You're allowed to do Spanish because they're not like a persecuted race, right?
Italian people and Spanish people are, at this moment in 2020, quite safe.
They're all right, aren't they?
Like, crack on.
Look, they've had armadas. Crack on.
I mean, we'll see how this ages.
Oh, okay.
Someone's getting cancelled.
Jeff, 10 years ago, we heard you.
Was just about to plug his podcast.
He gets cancelled on whatever version of TikTok is live in 10 years' time. On Ramble Scramble, Dev.
Yeah, right. I got my new podcast coming out on Valentine's Day. It's called Old Enough to Know Better. I did it sort of like in loose collaboration with Age UK. I sat down with a bunch of older people. We had some really nice chats. Asked them about love and regret and some amazing stories. I've been working on it for a really, really long time.
Sounds
and the first dope. Series yeah. is coming out on Valentine's Day. It's called Old Enough to Know Better.
And where can we find you on socials as well, Dev?
Is Dev on Instagram. You're probably wondering, how comes you got just Dev on Instagram? Because I have a connection there.
I don't know where that accent went. You offended all fucking races, bro. Wow. In one sentence. Special move. I'm Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy on all social medias. And we're How to Kill an Hour on all social medias. We've got a brand new Facebook group, which we're going to be putting exclusive content in. So get on Facebook and join the How to Kill an Hour Facebook group. Got to answer a couple of questions to get into that group. And we've got some bonus content we'll be throwing in there.
Can we end on Booty Body?
Go on, Dev.
Can we end with some Booty Body?
Do you want some Booty Body? You don't want the fuck shit, because I feel like fuck shit is way more what people would expect from us as a show.
Yeah, I suppose we'll do booty body for the intro, fuck shit for the outro.
Okay, cool. All right. So what, you want fuck shit now or booty body?
No, it's your show, man.
All right, cool. All right. It's like, I don't give a fuck, bro. All right, man. Yeah, shout out to Mark Rebellion on this as well.
I'm talking about the booty on your body. I'm talking about the body that you got with the booty. I'm talking about the booty on your body with your body got a booty. A booty on your body, now your body got a booty.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget, baby girl. Body also got some nice booty.
Look at that girl's looking at him. She wants to fuck so bad. Look.
Two booby on your body. A booty on your body, then a boobies up top. A booby on your body, there's a booty on your body. Your body got a booty and a booby, two boobies. I'm talking about booby body, booby body, booby booty. I'm talking booby body, booby booty, booty body. I'm talking bobby booty, booty, baba booba, bada booba. I'm talking baba tuba, tapa tuba, baba booby. Taka taka ta taka taka ta ta. A chuka chong baba papa papa papa. A chaka chaka khan shaka khan shaka khan. Rufus featuring Shaka Khan.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.